This is Savages in the Box.
I want you to feel us.
Now here's Chris Carlin.
Let's call what it is. Rays have kicked the Yankees' ass this season, and nothing changed with that. On Monday night, it is Savages in the Box. I'm Chris Carlin. The Rays have now beaten the Yankees 7 of 8 times this season, and they have a 4.5 game lead in the division over the Yankees. And I understand that that probably doesn't mean that much to you right now. Everybody assumes that the Yankees will be in the playoffs, and I get it. That's a more than a very fair assumption. But bottom line here is this was a night where 3 runs should have been more than enough, and it wasn't. So the Yankees lose 5-3. They had their offense completely shut down for 6 innings by Tyler Glasnow. Couldn't get anything going whatsoever. And Gerrit Cole was not very good. He couldn't find the strike zone for a lot of the night. He walked 4 batters. He gave up a 2-run homer in the first inning to G-Man Choi. Gave up another home run later. He has now given up 12 home runs this season. A tie for the major league lead. And let's just call it what it is. Gerrit Cole's been good. He hasn't been great. And look, I know we're not in the postseason here or anything. I understand that we're not in a situation where it's life or death yet. But this was a start on Monday night where he needed to come out and be his dominating self. This is the kind of start for which you went out to get Gerrit Cole. $324 million. And yes, it's about the postseason as well. But this is a night where he hasn't pitched particularly great against the Rays this season. Hasn't been terrible. But on Gerrit Cole's standards, hasn't been there. And then again tonight, he's getting hit hard, and he's getting hit hard early, and he ends up giving up 4 runs over 5 innings. And now in 16 and a third innings and 3 starts against the Rays this season, he has given up 9 earned runs and 20 hits, an ERA of 4.95. I'm sorry. For Gerrit Cole, that is not going to do it. That is unacceptable for what he was brought here to do. Now, I am not sitting here making giant leaps. Understand what I am saying. I am not going to sit here and tell you this was a bust. They never should have handed him the money. I am not sitting here and telling you that Gerrit Cole is somebody that over the next 8 years is just going to be an albatross of a contract for the Yankees and he's going to kill them. We are not jumping to conclusions here. We are merely stating facts. And the facts are he has not been good enough. Here's Aaron Boone on what he saw tonight, whatever that is.
Just command-wise, he was a little off and not frankly a lot. You know, a lot of close pitches that they did a good job with, and he made a couple mistakes, you know, when he was trying to get it to a spot and yanked a couple on the homers, the Kiermaier homer, you know, trying to go away with that, and I think just pulled it into kind of the nitro zone. And then Choi is a tough matchup, trying to backdoor the slider, but probably just a little too much of the plate. You know, I thought he competed really well for having all kinds of traffic and kind of managed his way through it. Actually, similar to Atlanta, I feel like he is getting into that midseason form where in his delivery, the stuff's coming out very easy. You know, I think it's just tightening up that elite command, which makes him Gerrit Cole.
All right, you know what? Let's just take that from Aaron Boone and put it through the Yankee translator, shall we?
Let's put this through the Yankee translator.
Oh, here's what comes out the other side. He sucked, but he looked good doing it. That's what it boils down to. Okay, the ball's coming out nicely. Okay, his mechanics are fine, but the answers and the results are not there. Now, to credit Cole, it's not like he is somebody that is going to take this lightly. He is obviously going to be immensely bothered by it.
It's been back-to-back starts where it felt really good and thought that, you know, had progressed with the stuff, you know, each of the last few outings, and you know, to not get rewarded for it, or to, I guess, probably underperform relative to the type of stuff and the type of the ability to throw a lot of pitches at a high quality level. You know, it just it eats at me a little bit. You know, because with what we had today, we should have pitched better. Pretty hard on myself as it is. Definitely know how important the game was, so I'm wearing it.
He's got all the right feelings, and this is certainly somebody that, you know, wants to be better, and it treats himself as a perfectionist with the way he pitches. But comes to Monday night, again, he was a disappointment. I'm sure that at some point he will round into form, but the division is starting to appear to be a foregone conclusion that it's going to belong to Tampa, the way things have gone this year. Now, I will say there was one thing that Cole said that was particularly interesting. He kind of hinted toward the end of his media session that maybe he was tipping his pitches a little bit. So there was a follow-up question about that, and this was his response.
I think we all pretty much tip pretty much every game when one way or another. True. So some game, you know, the other team has an edge, 4, 5, 6, 7 pitches. Some days it might be more. You know, there, some hitters look for it, some hitters don't. I mean, I think the point is there's several different factors that are contributing to the certainty with which guys are getting their swings off in certain counts. And so, yeah, I'm looking to address that.
So in other words, he feels like he's actually made some decent pitches, but they are absolutely taking massive swings at them as if they know they are coming. And that was in particular the case with the fastball on Monday night. So he wasn't very good, and we leave it at that. You know what else wasn't very good? The Yankee offense. Boy, that was bad. And boy, the Yankee offense has been bad against the Rays this season. So I want you to listen to some numbers, and I'm going to try not to bog you down too much in it. But think about the, what is it, 8 games now that these two teams have played. And I'll just give you a couple of things real quick. It's not like the Rays are tearing the cover off the ball. They're only hitting .231 as a team against the Yankees, but .272 with runners in scoring position. Yankees as a team against the Rays are hitting .215 and are 5-for-51 against the Rays this season with runners in scoring position. That is .098. Did I catch a niner in there? Yeah, you did. .098. Here's the other thing. The Rays, since the Yankees came to town on August the 7th, the Friday night game, the first game they played this year, are 19-4. And the Rays are scoring nearly 7 runs a game. The Yankees, since that same time, are 10-11. And they're only scoring about 4.5 runs a game. And it's not like they're giving up a ton. They haven't pitched terribly. But when you look at those two numbers, you kind of see where they're at here. When the Rays are pounding other teams and really putting up some big numbers in terms of their offense, you are seeing what the difference has been. And don't forget, they've been hit by injuries too. They've really gotten hit in their pitching staff, and they've absolutely gotten hit with a couple of key players, guys like Austin Meadows. So when all of that is the case, you can't really use the injuries as an excuse. I don't love where the Yankees are right now. And this is what I was talking about yesterday. The idea that coming out of a weekend like you had, after you had lost the first two games in such crushing fashion, but then you came back and got so many breaks to go your way, sometimes that is what can get you going. And I didn't feel like that was going to be the case here, because right now the Yankees are just not because right now the Yankees are just not a good enough team with what they are putting on the field every day. Luke Voit is ripping the cover off the ball. He is killing it. And yet it is making no difference whatsoever in the outcome of these games. Luke Voit hasn't been able to carry a team. You carry a team when you're winning games. And DJ LeMahieu, since he's gotten back, has been okay, but he hasn't been his normal self, that's for sure. And those are the two guys that are going to have to carry a home here. Now, some of the good news that you got, at least hinting around good news, was that Gleyber Torres is maybe further along than we all thought he was. And maybe he's going to be back sooner rather than later. But no real indication on definitively when that would be. He went through a pretty extensive workout at the stadium on Monday. But does that mean he's back by the weekend? Does that mean he's back by early next week? Who knows? It's a stretch, though, where they're in the middle of 20 consecutive games before they get their next day off, and they're going to need as many bodies as they can get out there. There's no question about that. And that leads us to the trade deadline, which came and passed at 4 o'clock on Monday afternoon, and the Yankees didn't do anything. Why? Well, the answer was pretty simple for Brian Cashman.
The effort was to try to get, whether it was a controllable starter moving forward or, you know, even a short-term starter to continue to, you know, give ourselves, you know, a better chance. But the price tags associated on it was usually a subtraction of some impactful player that's currently playing a role or anticipated to play a very important role for this franchise in the present or the immediate future. So that was the difficulty of trying to navigate the deadline. The names that were necessary to execute certain things are names that we are going to rely on in the present as well as in the future. And that means the near future. So that made it more difficult and challenging.
I don't even have to run that one through the translator. Teams are calling about Clint Frazier. They're calling about Davey Garcia. They're calling about Clark Schmidt. And they're guys that the Yankees are not going to trade right now because they expect them to be big contributors the rest of this season. Frankly, I have absolutely no problem with the Yankees not going out and doing anything. I am sure that for the guys they were probably looking at, I don't think they were ever going after Clevinger that hard. And you saw that the absolute fortune that was given up there by the Padres to go get him. But for the guys like Lance Lynn, who was the best starter on the market that was left after Mike Minor got moved, that the price tag was just too high. And hey, that's fine. If you feel like Garcia or Schmidt can be as good as Lance Lynn can be, it's understandable. Like, that's a guy who would have been controllable at a reasonable number for next year, but it's not life or death that you didn't go and get him. And it is a bizarre season. And I think the way that it's playing out, if you don't win a World Series, you'll kind of understand it in a way. It feels like it's going to be a little bit more excusable, as strange as that sounds. But all they're thinking about at the moment is getting into the postseason and then getting their guys back and getting them healthy. That's fine. Just understand who you're dealing with in two guys in Stanton and Judge and what their history is. So if you're going to bank on that, you live with what the outcome is going to be. And Brian Cashman, no problem with him not making a move and wanting to rely on that being the outcome, because there's absolutely no need to overpay for a middle-of-the-road starter, a guy who's decent like Lance Lynn, who frankly you have seen in this situation before and performed okay. It might be just as nice to see what Garcia or Schmidt could do down the stretch of the season, especially based on what we saw from Garcia on Sunday, who could not have looked more comfortable on a major league mound. That guy had some pretty good composure, and if I were the Yankees, I would be exceptionally encouraged by that. All right, we'll see if they can get back at it tonight against the Rays and find a way to beat this team. They've now lost 7 out of 8 times to them. Masahiro Tanaka will try to end that tonight against the Rays. Their starter still TBD. It looks like it's going to be an opener for Tampa. Big shock. All right, pretty simple. That does it for this edition of Savages in the Box. Just pitch better next time, Garrett. Actually be elite at one point and maybe score some runs. You do those two things, you should be okay. Carlin out.
Savages in the Box is available on the ESPN app and from Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.